This spoiler-filled podcast is recorded live, unscripted, and intended for those over 18. Now prepare your ears for the audio stimulation they've been waiting for all day as we step into
the spoiler room.
Welcome, everyone, to the spoiler room. I am your host, Mark the Movie Man, and here we are. It is here, the big epic Marvel's take on superheroes who have to pay for collateral damage. It is a Captain America Civil War, and we are going to spoiler this film this evening. Of course, we're talking about it just because it is a film that's so big, and there's many things to talk about and many debates to be had, to be sure. And those in the room with me today who will be helping me talk about this film is our spoiler room crew. We're going to go right down the line. First off is Mr. BFD. Glenn Bittner's back in the spoiler room. How are you doing today, sir?
Mr. Super.
Wow. we have Bat Glenn, apparently, in the house today. And next to BFD, we have the superhero old-time man himself. He's back in the spoiler room after a hiatus. Paul Salzar's here. Hello, Paul. Welcome back.
It's good to be back.
It's good to be back. Yes, we're happy to have you. And next to him is the one, the only, Mr. Scotty D. Hello, sir.
Hey, truth, justice, American way, lots of huge franchise stuff.
Making money.
Yeah. Well, you know what? There was a Cracked, I remember when I was a kid in Cracked magazine, there was a parody of the Superman movies, and he said, "I support truth and justice." They said, "What about the American ways?" They said, "Oh, that comes in all the marketing."
Yeah. Well, we're glad to have you here, Scotty D. And if you could feel the energy in the room, who better to help sit down and talk about superhero films than Tiger Power? Tony Estrada is here with us tonight. Hello, Tony.
America, fuck yeah, coming again to save the motherfucking day, yeah.
What's up, Mark?
Hey, we're doing great. You know, if Captain America would have opened with that, that would have been awesome. That would have been so awesome. In fact, have Chris Evans up there, like, just taking guys' heads off with a shield. I'd be like, yeah! Then you know, maybe I'd get me more hyped up. But, yes, tonight we are talking about Civil War. And once again, we have the internet in a fury, only this time, instead of people all shitting on a film that just recently came out, everybody's praising it because it is Marvel and it shits gold. So today we're going to talk about this.
Just a little bitter there.
But the only reason I may sound a little bitter is just because I get exhausted. I've been exhausted. I think I've hit my limit with just the, I'm like, can't we all like all the things, as my wife put it so eloquently? She's like, you could just like all the things.
And hey, so she's not wrong. She's not wrong at all.
Especially when it comes to geek stuff. I mean, let's just appreciate the fact we're getting a comic book movie every 3 months, for crying out loud, or sooner. In this case, like every 2 months. But tonight, we're going to discuss Civil War. We're going to talk about spoilery things. Play it here and just kind of wing it tonight on what we're going to talk about. So I asked the crew members each to bring us something they'd like to talk about. And I want to talk. He hasn't been here for a while, so we're going to put him on the spot first. Mr. Paul Salzar, hey, what question or what thing did you want to talk about with Captain America Civil War, which, if you folks want to know what it's really all about, you'll get it over the course of this episode, or go look on IMDb. So go ahead, Paul. What's something that you want to talk about with this film or you wanted to address?
Maybe discuss? Definitely. I've got a great one for Civil War. Were you Team Cap or Team Iron Man, and why?
Oh, nice. I like that one. So let's start with Mr. Tony Estrada, though I think from his intro we might know who he was with. But Tony, go ahead. Who are you, Team Cap or Team Iron Man, and why?
Well, for me, it's been kind of indifferent for me because I can understand Captain America, you know, wanting to protect Bucky, but then I understand Iron Man's point of view where he wants to basically take in Bucky because of his actions in the Winter Soldier. So, honestly, for me, it's hard for me to pick. I love both superheroes, but if I have to take away, like, the reasonings between the characters, I'll say Team Captain America because I love Captain America. But as far as, like, both of their reasons, honestly, I'm undecided when it comes to that.
Tony Estrada for president, 2016, the man who can give the most diplomatic answer you could have for are you Team Cap or Team Iron Man?
That's what I'm here for, folks.
I just give you a hard time, Tony. No, that's a good answer. I like that quite a bit, that you couldn't quite decide, which is going to bring up one of the things I want to talk about. But we'll go down the line. Scotty D, Cap or Iron Man, and why?
Actually, you know, I actually do think Tony is onto something here because, you know, okay, everybody, you know, hopefully anybody who's listening to this show has seen the movie because we are going to spoil the hell out of it. It's in the title of the show, duh. But we also, you mean, you should know that the Civil War that's in this movie is considerably different, actually, than the Civil War that was in the comic book series. Comic book series, you know, they spent months and months and months having these ideological discussions about, you know, should people be required to disclose their identities and be under the auspices of the government. And here we kind of get a little bit of debate, but it's main and about, like, you know, should the government be involved, or in this case it's the United Nations, it's not the government. Or should, you know, it just be, or should they go be independent? But mainly, it does take the precedence of this personal story. I would say that I wanted to be Team Cap. I really did, because when he talked about the government overreach, he was correct when he said, you know, what if we want to save some people, and they won't let us, or what if, you know, they, you know, something like, or the other way around. What if they try to make us do something that we aren't, you know, willing to do? That's a good point. So I really wanted to be on Team Cap. But at the same time, because they made it this personal story about Bucky, who, God, you know, I'm sorry, guys, Bucky had to go. As far as I was concerned. So I'm kind of Team Cap, but at the same time I'm like, no, seriously, you really have endangered a ton of people by not wanting Bucky to have any repercussions for what he did, even if he was brainwashed or anything like that. He says, no, he should just be, we should just, like, take him under our wing and, like, just kind of, like, babysit him, you know? Like, you know, like he's an alcoholic who's, you know, just, you know, who's, like, got a 12-step program, you know? My name is Bucky. I was the Winter Soldier, and I killed dozens of people over decades. Hi, Bucky. You know? But they, you know, and I think it's a little more serious than that, so.
Yeah.
I wanted to be Team Cap, and when it was the ideological discussion about and the vague discussion about, you know, who should have oversight,
mm-hmm.
I kind of leaned towards him. And then when it wasn't, when it became this very, it became more embroiled in a personal vendetta, I'm like, no, you really are acting recklessly, and you're unfortunately kind of proving Tony's point.
And you make a valid point right there, and we'll get everyone's other answers first.
Because in the comic books, I was totally Team Cap. In the comic books, Iron Man is an asshole.
Well, that's one of the problems that I had with this film, which, again, I'm putting that out there right now. If you haven't seen my review, yes, I enjoyed this movie. I think we all did, but there are also, I think, some of us recognize some flaws, which we will get into tonight, but... Mm. I'm going to hold off on that, but you make some good points I'm going to come back to, Scott. Glenn, how about you? Team Cap or Team Iron Man, and why?
Team Marissa Tomei.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Not enough.
Yes.
Yes.
Aunt May is hot.
With the movie, I'm going to say Team Iron Man because I just can't get in on the mega bromance going on with Captain America and Bucky. And it just, I mean, it's Captain, you know, the Cap talks about how, you know, he's doing all this, you know, for all of his noble reasons. But it's just the fact that he's doing this because of his buddy. That's it. I mean, there's nothing about his character that leads you to think anything else in the movie. So, I mean, I gotta go Team Iron Man.
Team Iron Man, nice answer. Paul, the answer to your question, what team are you on, sir?
I started out Team Cap, and I ended Team Cap. So Captain America has always been a character that fits my way of thinking. I always want my heroes to be like the Boy Scout, you know, kind of the symbol of what we can all strive to become. And I like that about heroes. And so I've always sided with Captain America and it, throughout this film. Now, that said, I was totally against Iron Man at the beginning because it was like, boo, boo, hiss, hiss, you know. But through the movie, Iron Man did convince me that, you know, his side is just as valid, but I'm still Team Cap, of course.
And for me, here we go. Okay.
Team Ant-Man.
Team Ant-Man, yeah. I am actually Team Black Panther, in all honesty. Team Iron Man and Team Captain were both a little frustrated, though I have to side a little more with Iron Man because, in all honesty, even with his – and this is the problem that – this is what kind of got me underneath is, don't get me wrong, I loved all the superhero stuff and the superhero fighting, but if you peel back those layers, there's actually two films going on in here. There is a film that wants to be another Captain America like Winter Soldier with the serious talk and everything and the Bucky storyline and the Winter Soldier and that. And then there's the storyline that is trying to relate or be similar to what was in the comics with the superheroes having to answer to one another, and they've put them together. And while I enjoyed that, I kind of enjoyed the debate there. When it came to Bucky, Captain got stupid. I'm sorry, but the way they set up his characters, and it's the problem I have with Iron Man too, and it showed up in Age of Ultron, and it bugged me there. In the comics, it felt natural because, yes, Tony Stark, a.k.a. Iron Man, was more of an a-hole in the comics and not as charismatic as he is in the movies. And that's, for me, the slight issue is I didn't buy the rift between Captain and Iron Man. Until, yes, this is a spoiler room, until the last 5 minutes to where we see Bucky took out, you know, Tony Stark's parents, which I was like, wow, small world, right? Until that point, I did not feel – it felt manufactured, the conflict between these two guys. And it wasn't their performance. It was just the way they were written, the way we've grown up with these characters or grown with these characters over the last 8 years. It was really hard. They didn't sell to me the conflict until the last 10 minutes with it. Up until that point, yeah, I got to agree with Glenn. You know, Cap was doing most of the stuff just for his bromance.
But again,
I agree with that too.
Well, he's the symbol. You know, in America, innocent until proven guilty. They were all after him. They had circumstantial evidence, and they wanted to outright kill him before bringing him to trial. And Captain America says, "No, this is not how we should do it." And that's how I felt. Well, now I'm defending him again.
you are defending him, and no, that's fine. I that's what I'm looking for is discussion on this, because for me, at least, what came across here was that was the main. And you know, we're talking about the collateral damage and everything, and I thought it was interesting that it's the theme in both of the last two big superhero films we got, and how it's been accepted differently. And that's only I honestly think that. If you take away the extra characters, the performance in here, because for one, I loved Black Panther. That's why I say Team Black Panther. It makes me so want to see that solo film. Chadwick Boseman, I think we're all agreed that Chadwick Boseman kicked ass as Black Panther.
Yeah, I mean, he was perfect.
Not only that, but his acting. I'm sorry, some of these actors feel like they're in this role so long that it's old hat for him, but Boseman was the one that felt like he was putting forth the most in acting, next to Robert Downey Jr., who I loved seeing less than zero Robert Downey Jr.
Yes.
In that flashback that yes. we had. But for me, I was Team Black Panther because his motivation was very clear. His motivation felt true in his performance. And when he saw something was a mistake, he fully admitted it and took a step back, to which our dunderheads, Captain America and Iron Man, they were so stubborn, especially Cap. and that's the thing is, he's all truth, justice, and all of this, and the right thing to do, yet the right thing to do is to go and break your guys out at the end, basically making the entire Avengers fugitives. Which, I'm like, wow, you're going to make us wait how many movies to try to see how they're going to make this up after he beat the crap out of everybody in that, the superhero jail cell?
I think you're right. I think you're right, Mark, and I think that the two movies, unfortunately, the Cap and Bucky, forever, the bromance, as I think Glenn was the one who said it, is it takes such precedence. I mean, if they wanted to have a film that was about the discussion of, like, well, what, these are, when these heroes and villains duke it out in public places, this is the damage that happens. What's the responsibility of these people for that? That would have been an interesting discussion to see them tackle. All of that kind of does, and they every now and then they kind of give lip service to it. They start out with it, they start out really earnest with it, and then it all kind of gets shifted to the background. The personal thing between Cap and Bucky and then Iron Man going after him that takes such precedence in this movie, and it... it becomes so dominant. And honestly, it's like you said, Cap and Iron Man, it would be really cool to see like all the nuances of these discussions. Instead, you have these two characters who are just very black and white, how they see things. As I think, I think it might be Black Panther, one of the characters like that, that says both of them think that they're right.
Right.
Basically. But, or maybe with Spider-Man or something, I don't know. Both of them are acting as if they are absolutely right. But since they never bother to think of any alternative through the 2 hours and 26 minutes of this film, it kind of, I just looked at them like, okay, that's the whole issue, isn't it? That's really the issue. It's not this, what should be this greater issue. It's all like this personal thing.
Well, and
I had a problem.
And like I said, it did feel like it was two movies, and maybe it was me. Tony, did you kind of feel like there were two movies going on? You have the Accord debate, which could have been in its own right the whole movie, and then you get the Bucky storyline, which felt like they were trying, because it was Captain America, they're trying to continue that story they started in Winter Soldier. It felt like they were pushing these two stories together when I think they could have actually made two separate movies out of this. How do you feel?
I didn't really have that problem, to be honest, because, when Zemo showed that video of, Bucky killing Tony Stark's parents, that's when that part of the storyline was really fully brought up. But, before that, it was all about the Avengers taking their actions for what happened in the events of Avengers, Winter Soldier, and then, of course, Age of Ultron. So I thought most of the movie was more focused on that. And obviously, after the fight in the airport scene, that's when Tony Stark's like, okay, I want to call it truce. And then once he sees that video, that's when, like you guys said, it became more personal. But it was very understandable of why they made it more personal towards the end when, you know, most of the movie focused on what the main issue was. So I didn't really feel like it shifted. I felt like the movie had a perfect balance of where they wanted to go with the storyline.
And I'm glad you saw that. Like, and maybe it was just me, but I kind of agree with Scott with the whole the Accord thing being a little more almost lip service.
And that's understandable, to be honest.
You know, because I've seen that debate too happen where they say, well, the airport scene is because they wouldn't sign the Accord. No, not really. If you look at the way they set it up, the airport scene is because Captain America is running around with the Winter Soldier, who's a suspected terrorist, and he's trying to protect him and clear his name. It's not about the Accord. It's about him protecting his buddy Bucky, is what that battle at the airport is. It's not because he didn't sign the Accord. The Accord felt kind of an aside to me, but I'm glad you saw it, Tony. I'm still trying to see it, and you make some valid points. They do bring it up throughout the film. It felt like it was still kind of an aside. Glenn, how about you? Did you feel like the Accord part was more of an aside, or was there a decent balance? And I'm full of shit.
It was so about Bucky. I mean, the Accords are there just to give an excuse, you know, for it's to make it seem like Cap isn't just going out to save his buddy. No. This is about principle. It's about your friend. No, principles, friend. It's about your friend. I mean, yeah, it's the principles. You know, you're helping out your friend because he's been wrong and he's wrongly accused. Fine, but the Accords are just, you know, it's just there to make people have to choose sides. Right. Because if all it was about was going out and helping Cap's friend, and the Accords were even a part of it, then there'd be no conflict because all the Avengers would be like, okay, fine, we'll bring them in.
Right.
But because they throw the Accords in there, that's solely there just to make people have to choose sides of whether or not they're going to help Cap or not.
Yeah, and that was the part that I was having a tough time with, was the fact of they put the Accord in there so no one would listen to Cap. Because the way I see this, they could have played out, you wouldn't have your great epic superhero on superhero action going on. If it was just Bucky, because Cap would be able to make an argument to that, hey, Bucky's been framed and we need to clear him, and then it would be the Avengers against, say, government representatives. You know, but he doesn't make that case to the guys who he's in debate with. They leave it as the dispute with the Accord. So you do kind of have the two movies going on here at once, that I think there's enough that they could have made two separate ones. The Civil War part could have been what Age of Ultron should have been, you know, a proper Avengers film. And then you get the more Captain America's orientated solo story with him trying to clear Bucky.
Yeah. And, you know, also they kind of passed up a really good opportunity here, I think, because, okay, when we, you know, and I know, you know, a lot of the younger people that this is marketed to, you know, some of them weren't even alive when 9/11 happened.
Yeah.
You know, some of the younger ones, anyway. And, you know, some of the other ones, they were so young that it's like a distant childhood memory. All of us on here were all so old that we remember it as adults, pretty much. The way we handle suspected terrorists and these potentially catastrophic criminals has changed in the 21st century, where it used to be, yes, we will bring them in, they will have a jury of their peers, they will have habeas corpus, all this will be addressed, everything. Now, there's the scene where Iron Man is shocked that the captured heroes, because they're not all Avengers, actually, captured heroes are all in, like, oh my gosh, you're in, like, a dungeon prison, and, like, well, I'm so shocked. You're the big guy. You can't be that naive. Come on. You know that, and even somebody makes a comment in there, like, that you know, somebody asks to see a lawyer, he's like, lawyer, that's really funny. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes these people aren't actually charged. Sometimes they are not given legal representation. Sometimes they go under enhanced interrogation techniques, which everybody else knows as torture. These are not, you know, whether you think that that's deserved or not isn't the issue. Those are actual established facts, that those have actually right. happened, of how we treat people now in the 21st century who are suspected of these crimes. So, and they kind of really passed up a golden opportunity to address, it's not like it used to be where you could expect everybody to get a fair shake.
Well, I think
once they get captured, you know, no, there's a chance that they're going to be locked in a hole and never seen again.
Sure. Well, I think it was alluded to, but it really is kind of it's barely touched where, yeah, they could have explored it more, especially with superheroes, to see, well, let's just see how much this guy can take. You know, you could go a little darker, but then that's not Marvel, I know. But, Paul, how about you with that? Do you feel there was a balance, or do you feel that it is more about the bromance and Cap just protecting his buddy? And I think I know where you're going with this, so Tony may not be alone.
Yes. I don't think it's about the bromance. Mm-hmm. I do think that there's more than just two stories. There are two main stories, though, just right. like you've pointed out. There are just so many stories where they're trying to basically move the entire cinematic universe in every character's section up a little further. It's like, what's the next part of this? What they're setting this up. They're setting up Black Panther. They're setting up, you know, the romance between Vision and Scarlet Witch, you know, and those type of things. The romance that Sharon Carter miraculously has with Captain America, you know. They just moved all those things. So there's a lot of stories, but let's focus on the two main stories. I think it's important to have the two stories run in parallel, because it's kind of the point of Civil War. You've got two things going against each other, and eventually they merge in the end, and that to me was just kind of a neat and something that they left in the background. They may not have intentionally done it, but to me it was just an add-on thing that made it worthwhile. It's like you know, something a little subtly, you know, it's not just a movie. It's making a slight weird statement, you know?
And I see where you're coming from with that, you know, how it did come together. I guess for me it was one of those where you have this really rich story and interesting story with the Civil War comic, and then they were combining these two when I felt they could have done just as good of a service as having them almost two separate films. But you do make a valid point in there as well, as with what Tony said, is they did balance it, and bringing them together was interesting to see how they merged. I guess for me, I didn't have a whole lot of expectations, but I was just hoping it was more than going to be just, well, I used to be your friend. Bucky's your friend, and I used to be your, you know. And for me, again, I guess for me, and I know a lot of people, they were able to buy into it a lot easier than I did with the conflict between Cap and Iron Man. And I think it's just the way they established these characters in the movies, with such charismatic characters, and how they were behaving. It just felt to me a little more manufactured as far as the conflict goes, up until, like I said, the last part where we see that, you know, there is only one assassin who could take out the Starks on the small road, and that was, you know, our Bucky. So excellent question there, Paul. And as you can see, folks, just like in Civil War, we are divided. now that with that story, we covered it pretty well. Let's move on. I want to talk about just a quick topic, though. Something that kind of got me a little in the beginning, and that was some of the cinematography with the fight scenes. Don't get me wrong, airport fight scene, I think we all agree, was badass. Mm-hmm. I think it was handled well. I think it was shot fantastically. Everybody got, well, most people kind of got to shine a bit, except Black Widow, who seemed to really get her butt kind of kicked. But that opening scene in the beginning where Frank Grillo's there for about 4 minutes getting what I called the rhino treatment.
I can agree with that.
I mean, can we all agree that the internet blew up when they saw, oh my God, Crossbones. And Crossbones, he got like 3 licks in on Cap. And then Cap just beat the crap out of him. And then, you know, he's going to blow up. And then Scarlet, you know.
or if you don't want to go with comic books, you can call it the Count Dooku treatment.
The Count Dooku treatment. Wow.
He probably blew up to return as being the protector in the Purge election year. That's probably where he exploded to.
But the cinematography for the fight scenes, I think, during that opening scene, I had a little bit of trouble with. Did anyone else notice the shaky cam at all?
Yeah, I did. That was one of my little minor flaws with the film, just that for the first 20 to 30 minutes, I did feel like the action was getting a little shaky. Like, there's a scene where Black Widow is, like, running in the opening action scene, and the camera was kind of moving up and down, side to side.
Yeah, and it's funny because I was talking to someone, a gentleman who runs the website NerdSlant. I was talking to him about it, and he said, yeah, the shaky cam actually caused a problem with some IMAX theaters.
Wow.
With the 3D. Yep, yeah. Man. Apparently the jitter, it was so bad that it was causing issues with the IMAX 3D, which I could kind of see. And for me, I'm like sitting there, I was glad the fight scene smoothed out later on, and maybe that was because there was so much CGI in that airport scene. But in that opening scene, it was a little tough to get into. I liked how they gave the intro to everybody, but the way it was shot felt a little sloppy, and even the CGI, some of it looked a little rough. Glenn, the opening few scenes of this film, especially the action scenes, did you have any kind of issues with the way it was put together?
Not really. I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously there's CG, but it was better than the opening scene of Age of Ultron.
That's true.
I mean, that was pretty bad. No, I think that it was fine.
Did you want to see more, though, maybe from Crossbones?
Not the... Hey! All right, I'm gone. I mean, it'd be like them if, you know, when they attacked Spider-Man, if it was just simply, you know, his whole appearance was, you know, Tony and Cap are arguing and you just see him fly by in the background, that'd be it. That was it. What the fuck was that? So, yeah, that's kind of, you know, it's like, here he is. There he goes.
And that was one of those things where I felt they'd put that in there more for the fans or anything. But for me, it was like, this isn't the only superhero. Don't get me wrong. This isn't the only superhero film to have done this. Is this, Paul, where they have a bad guy, a named bad guy, a guy who's been carried over a number of episodes, who's a known name, and he gets about a minute of actual like screen time, and then he's tossed off.
It's a good minute, though. I mean, it's not like they just... It's not like, okay, and you're going to cut this. I know you are. But, I mean, like, it's not like they give him the Jimmy Olsen treatment.
Well, yeah, I know. It's not that they don't give him Jimmy Olsen treatment, but, Paul, am I off on that? Did they kind of waste, or did they really need to make him Crossbones? Couldn't he have been just a regular, you know, kind of weapons seller rather than being a named character?
I think they did that, though, because the people that knew the story was expecting an entirely different ending mm-hmm. to the film because of this. It's like, oh, we see him in the previews. But as soon as I watched it at the beginning, it was like, wow, I guess that's not going to happen at the end. Interesting. But that is one of the one problems that I see in Marvel films, and I think we talk about this every time we talk about Marvel films. is their inability to have strong villains, even though Marvel has a wonderful cast of of villains, but the Marvel movies haven't done it, and I think it's because of these ensemble casts. If you notice the solo films, the villains tend to be a lot more stronger. Mm-hmm. But when they do this ensemble thing, they tend to put more of the heroes against each other because they have to have that air time or, you know, screen time, I think. And it's a weird side effect that a lot of the villains, like Zemo. Zemo is a fantastic character, and he was kind of okay in this film. They could have done a lot more with him.
Yeah, well, see, and that's where I was like with Zemo especially was. You know, and they start off badass with him torturing a Hydra guy for the book. I love that scene. I'm like, oh my God, Marvel got really dark for a bit. I'm liking where this is going. But then he's like, eh. And then they're kind of promising at the end that there's super soldiers on ice.
Yes.
That he's going to thaw. And I'm sitting there going, okay, this is how we're going to bring Cap and Iron Man together. They call a truce and everything, and then they get up there, and they, you know, the Avengers come in who have been on different sides. They all join together and fight these seven really killer super soldiers. And what do we get? They all got killed in their sleep. Really?
That's how Zemo would do it, though.
Honestly, though, you know, I got to tell you, I must be the really boring old guy here because – one of the most satisfying parts of the movie was I liked Zemo's character arc. Was he right? Absolutely not. When you start spilling innocent blood, I'm sorry, your ideological argument goes for with me. But the fact that he did that, you did have that bait and switch. You thought there was going to be, okay, we got another super soldier army. Oh, no. He really does just want this internal disintegration
exactly.
of the Avengers. I liked that idea. I thought that was a really clever, an interesting spin. It was one of the more introspective moments of the film. I liked that.
But then again, did you really need Zemo to be a villain to do that?
There is, you know, and there's also, you know, and I've read this in an article too, is like, you know, Zemo here is very different than the Zemo in the comic books. There's nothing that says that he won't become the Zemo from the comic books.
That would be nice.
And, you know?
And that would be nice if that is the direction they're going.
Because let's face it, we all know that these movies are still, unless they start having bomb after bomb after bomb in a row, we all know that in one form or another, there's going to be Marvel movies when we're 60. Yeah.
And then that's the old man on the lawn for me is the fact that a number of these, more and more of these films as we go along, just feel more like setup films. They're focused just as much on a setup for the next film as they are trying to tell a standalone story, which I bugs me a little. Not a lot. Like I said, I really enjoyed this film. I'm going to sound like I'm ragging the piss out of this, and it's not true. I did really enjoy it, but I just don't see it as the perfect, you know, oh my God film, and that's why I wanted to get together, and I know some of you do. Tony, what about you? Did you feel Zemo was a decent villain, or do you think that he was kind of underdeveloped?
Like, was he in the film a whole lot? No, he wasn't, but I do think that for the small amount of screen time that he had, I actually thought the film used him well. Because, let's face it, there's so much stuff going on that the Russo brothers had to balance. So, to me, it does make sense why he's not in here a whole lot. And I do think he was developed enough, like, especially when it's revealed that the reason he's trying to tear the Avengers apart, well, one, is because he doesn't like the Avengers, but he's motivated by guilt and vengeance because he couldn't rescue his own family. So that's what's driving him to do all of this stuff that's happening in the film. So honestly, I found him to be a very interesting and complex character. I think he's actually more complex than most villains in the cinematic universe, to be honest. Mm. And not only that, but I find him unique because whereas most villains have superpowers, he's a human being. He doesn't have powers, mm-hmm. which is why I probably found him to be one of the more interesting villains that the cinematic universe has had in quite a while.
And what about you, Glenn? Did you feel that Zemo was used fairly well, or do you feel he was a bit underdeveloped as in the other villains we've seen in MCU?
Zemo was in this?
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, no, I think he was absolutely underutilized. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to have seen more out of him. And it's a complaint I've had about a lot of the Marvel movies as of late is they don't really develop the villains.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I might be spoiled because the TV series Daredevil and Jessica Jones have such good villains, and I'm just spoiled by not having that.
Yeah, especially with Daredevil. I mean, Kingpin established within the first time we see him how, you know, what kind of a meaty villain he was, and yeah, I didn't. Quite...
At least we didn't have villains with daddy issues this time, though.
No,
that was nice. we did have a hero with daddy issues, though, didn't we?
We had a hero.
I was gonna give it that little credit because okay, Ultron had daddy issues, Yellow Jacket had daddy issues, Loki has daddy issues. I'm like, I was gonna say, oh hey, what Zemo doesn't have daddy? Oh wait, Iron Man has daddy issues.
Yes, though I did get a kick out of seeing a very young Robert Downey Jr. I was like, is he gonna snort a line of coke off of the piano when mom and dad are gone? Because
wow,
he just had that less than zero look. What? Come on, I grew up in the 80s.
No, you know what? There was a girl behind me, that was like with these. And there's lots of couples that went to this movie, and most of the couples, everybody in the group is knowledgeable.
Yeah.
This one couple, the woman didn't know about these types of movies. It was obvious before the movie started when they showed a trailer for Rogue One, and she's like, "Wait, is that Leia? I'm confused." So I'm like, "Oh, I'm gonna hear this the whole movie," and suddenly I hear from behind me, "I was like, oh, that's right, he wasn't less than zero." I had to laugh.
Good. I'm glad I'm not the only one that got an impression from the young Robert Downey Jr. shot.
I'm like, you go, girl. You're okay in my book.
Glenn, how about you? Did you bring a topic that you like that we haven't maybe touched on yet that you wanted to talk about?
Not well. I mean, let's talk about Vision.
Oh, okay. Yes.
So we were having a session at work. Both Vision and Scarlet Witch. If this was a video game, these would be the people who are playing with the cheat codes on. You know, they're running God mode. But they have to dumb them down so much. Because, I mean, if you compare, like, you know, any of the other Avengers, like Cap or Hawkeye or even Ant-Man to, like, Scarlet Witch or Vision, they're seriously outgunned. Seriously outclassed. And what is Vision doing that whole battle at the airport? What's going on?
He takes out his own guy.
I mean, it should have been with him there. Unless he was squaring off directly against Scarlet Witch the entire time, he should have taken out that entire other team in about 6 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to. It's a problem I have with it's the power creep in superhero movies where you have some people who are so powerful, and then all of a sudden they just kind of like ignore them. It's like, well, they're all off screen doing stuff. It's like, what's he doing off screen? Because he should just be ending the battle. But then you wouldn't get the fun stuff with Spider-Man jumping around, and you know, I did like the thing where someone had posted how you know Bucky does all this badass stuff throughout the movie, but he can't punch it for, you know, a teenager. Because Spider-Man was like, nah, I'm just going to catch that. Stop! But yeah, there's that little bit of what are these superpowered people really doing while you're not seeing them? Because they don't appear to be doing... It's like if the cameras aren't on them, they're just like taking a break.
They're taking a breather. Yeah, I kind of.
I'm over here. What are you doing? I'm trying on new sweaters. Is what I'm doing. That's what Vision does. He wears sweaters. So,
well,
I'm over at the Gap. So if you need me. But I mean, you know, it's that I really, really ripped this movie apart at work this morning. Mm-hmm. Like tore up so much of it. I still enjoy it. But man, do I just. I ripped this thing apart.
Well, and for Vision, yeah, I have to agree that with Vision and especially Scarlet Witch, and that I understand she's still using her powers, but that was the kind of unusual thing the way I said. I'm like, why didn't she just throw him out, like, into the air, but she just hovers him up, you know, when she was able to do things in Ultron. And also, you know, she could control people. Why isn't she out there, like, you know, bam, he get setting people against each other? And then the Vision, yeah, he's around waiting for someone big to show up, and then Ant-Man does show up as Big Man, as a giant man, which was actually funny. I kind of like that.
Funny.
That was a very entertaining bit. But then, you know, here he is, Mega Vision with superpowers and accuracy and all this, you know, knowledge, and he misses a clear shot. And I understand they're trying to play the, well, he was emotional over Scarlet Witch. Even if he was emotional, he misses Falcon and hits War Machine. You know, in a clear shot.
They have to have someone get hurt because they're not killing anyone. So, you know,
it's, one of them got killed. You got to help me out for people who remember the comic series a little more, because I do remember that one of the big guys actually got killed by Team Iron Man.
Captain.
Who?
Captain America gets sniped.
No, I'm talking about before Captain America.
Oh.
One of the things that really, even people who were pro-Team Iron Man, one of the things that made them shift sides, I remember, in the comic book series was that at this point in Marvel history, Thor was dead at this point. You know, how heroes take a breather and die for a few years. And Thor was dead at this time. And he made out, like, some kind of clone of Thor that came out and killed one of the people, I want to say. Did one of the people get killed, like Hercules or somebody?
I don't remember.
Who was that? I know he killed somebody. Say who?
It's been so long since I've read it, I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't either.
Well, there were a number of casualties apparently during it. You may be thinking of Ragnarok?
No, I'm thinking of Civil War. They killed somebody. It might not even be anybody who was in the movies or anything. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking like it's one of the absolute heaviest hitters. But it's one of those people where, you know, if you're a comic geek and you've been following, you're like, oh, my God. And they actually, like, cloned Thor. They actually tried to – they created that blasphemy. I mean, it was really supposed to emotionally tug in your heartstrings.
Right.
My point being about that is that they aren't killing anybody, but they at least had to really have somebody pay a price in this movie.
And unfortunately, it was War Machine.
Oh, he killed Goliath.
Yeah.
Goliath, thank you. Not Hercules, Goliath. Thank you.
Like blasted a hole right through his chest.
Yes, that's the one. Thank you so much, Glenn. It was going to be bugging me all night.
But not only Vision and Scarlet Witch, whose accent faded in and out, which, yes, I know it's a superhero film, and people might say I'm being nitpicky, but consistency and character, it was enough to be distracting. But besides that, I mean, in that airport battle, I'm sorry, Hawkeye and Black Widow were out of their league in that fight. Everybody kind of had more boost to their juice than
but
those
Hawkeye
two.
But Hawkeye kicked ass in this movie.
But that, even in that airport fight, though, I mean, yeah, I guess he did, but Black Widow especially, I felt, got shortchanged in this film.
Well, what else is new?
and
give the gal a movie already, for God's sake!
Tell me about it, because, you know, and I felt bad for those characters, because it was like, you know, they're real interesting characters, especially with Hawkeye, who they spent a while to... I loved the supporting characters more than I did the main characters in this film. I in all honesty... Outside of, I know Iron Man and Captain America and Bucky and that, but for me, I dug the fact Paul Rudd was hilarious in here. I enjoyed the fact that both sides ended up picking an insect superhero to help join their team. One Spider-Man and one Ant-Man. You know, Black Panther I loved. I enjoyed the intro of Spider-Man, though I thought his intro was awkward. You know, but yeah, you get Vision and Scarlet Witch, who probably have the some of the most strongest powers out of the team, and it really didn't feel like they did as much as they could have with it, only because we needed everybody else to be able to it. So with Vision, do you think, Paul, that they kind of whittled him back or held him back versus what he could have or should have probably been in that fight?
Yes, because and I think it was because he had to be distracted. They wanted to play up that aspect of him. I mean, he does have an Infinity Stone, and I think it's supposed to be the Soul Gem, which kind of makes sense. So, you know, he's going to have these weird feelings that he's not used to, and that's probably what's bugging him. And yes, I agree, he should have taken out the entire team. Because time and time again, you've seen episodes of like the cartoon series where he does do that. I mean, just the fact that he can control his own, you know, things can phase through him. He can make himself super, super dense. You know, things like that. He should have been able to take them on. But I think they just wanted to play up the fact that, yes, he is super distracted right now. And I want to just kind of go back to what you were saying about Black Widow. Mm-hmm. I thought she was much better in this film. I thought they gave her a much better role because I think she kind of takes on the Peter Parker role that was from the comics. She kind of bridges the gap between the two. She's the one that kind of switches sides. So I thought that she had a much, much bigger role. She didn't have this like this weird romance out of that I thought was out of place in Age of Ultron. I thought that they really did a good service for her character here. She was very, very intelligent. She was very diplomatic, especially with Black Panther, you know, T'Challa's character. And so I thought she had a really, really good role in this film.
She does also get that great line with Tony Stark. Are you incapable of seeing beyond your goddamn ego for 1 second? Mm-hmm. I'm like, finally, after like 8 movies, which is like the thing, and you know, it's also the thing that we wanted to say to both these people throughout the whole movie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, that was a good line.
Tony, how about you with the side characters?
Oh, I loved all the side characters, honestly. Like, sure, some of them have less screen time than others, but I think when you deal with so many characters, some of them need to have less screen time than others, but at least they were able, in my opinion at least, to shine. I understand your guys' complaints, but for me, I felt like each of the characters did get to have their time to shine, because honestly, to me, it's better than them being like completely ignored. So at least Hawkeye, I'm glad we got to see him for a few minutes. I'm glad that Black Widow got to shine, Scarlet Witch, Vision, like pretty much everyone, I feel like got to have their one moment at least.
But did you feel though that Vision and Scarlet Witch were held back a little bit? Because I mean, they are supposed to be kind of they were their strongest characters as far as powers go, I think, at that fight, and they seem to do the least amount of you know, damage and work. In all
honestly, I didn't. I think in a way, Scarlet Witch and Scarlet Witch, I think had a little more screen time than she did with Age of Ultron, because you know I watched Age of Ultron a few days ago, and you know it would take a while for her to appear again. While in this movie, I felt like she appeared like at least every 5 to 6 minutes. Cause it's all like it's either after Tony Stark is done talking to Peter Parker, or after Captain America, after they're done with Captain America and Bucky for a little bit. I noticed that the movie would cut to Scarlet Witch and Vision, so I didn't really feel like they were underused. I felt like they had enough scenes mm-hmm. in the movie to drive the story before we build up to that airport scene.
Sure. Okay, great. Well, again, I'm kind of in Glenn's camp with that one as far as
But I can understand your guys' complaints. I'm not saying you guys are wrong or anything. I understand.
Everybody, no, Tony, this is why I wanted to do this. It gives me some perspective and food for thought, definitely. Though, yeah, with the way they build up their powers, I would have liked to see a little more in that fight out of Vision and Scarlet Witch. But everybody kind of needs their moment, especially during that fight. So, Scott, if we haven't touched on it already, did you have something you wanted to talk to the group about?
You have touched on it a little bit. It's worth I suppose it can be expanding. And again, I will say that even though a lot of what I'm just like Mark, just like Glenn, a lot of what I'm bringing up are like kind of like my problems with the movie. I still enjoyed this movie. It's a solid film.
Mm-hmm.
It's a solid film. I liked it. However, there were parts, and honestly, I think since we are getting a couple of these a year now, and they're not really standalone movies anymore. They try to, like Mark was saying earlier, setting up everything. And the nature of Civil War, the whole storyline, whether it's in the comic book or the movie, is to have all these people meet, all these heroes meet and be pitted up against each other. And so you've got all these different characters. Now, but whereas this was spread out over several months over multiple comics, and the storyline was different, yeah, sure. Here we have 2.5 hours less to handle this whole thing. Plus we've got the Bucky thing. Plus we've got all this other stuff. So we've got all these heroes that we've already established. Some have been around since the beginning. Now we've got others that we're still trying to expand because we kind of just introduced them in Age of Ultron, like Vision and Scarlet Witch, or Ant-Man, which we just introduced in Ant-Man. And we're still trying to set these people up. And then we got brand new people. We've got Black Panther. We've got Spider-Man, who we really haven't even talked about yet. Why? Because there's so much else to talk about in this movie, because there's all these people. Then you got all these people meeting, plus you have the peripheral characters, Sharon Carter, Thunderbolt Ross is back. You've got the villains, Zemo and Crossbones and all this. There's so much going on in this movie. It was so busy that honestly I was looking at this movie and wondering, and this is a setup for my question, so I'm not just like,
okay.
going off.
I was wondering, is there a question?
This is not just a rant. No, but this is why I was saying this, is that, I was looking at it and saying, two things came to mind. One was that we're now in this golden age of television where stories can, unfold slowly over several episodes. And then you got this thing where it's just jam-packed into this, and I was wondering, would this have been better if either it was told over a more serialist, kind of a serial pattern over episodes or multiple films, or would it be better to just take a few of these ingredients out of the movie?
Hmm.
And do this. My point being, was this too? For me, it was. I felt like you can't have all these things converge at once without it feeling really, really jammed, packed.
It was
like really packed. And I was wondering, would it be better to kind of simplify things for a while?
Mm-hmm. And that's a great question. So, Tony, how about you? Do you feel this might have played out a little bit better and they could have taken a little more time over episodes or possibly remove a few elements because this film was so dense in order to possibly maybe flesh out some of the things that we only like briefly touch upon in this film? Some of the concepts and some of the characters that they had in here, do you think some elements could be removed to possibly improve the film? I know you really enjoyed the film, but...
Honestly, it's funny how you say that because, Scott said, this movie is like a little under 2.5 hours long. And I was watching the movie, and honestly, I had a hard time thinking of which element to cut out because I thought all the elements, like with Zemo and like the scenes with Captain America and Bucky and then Tony Stark with Spider-Man and then the government stuff, you know, I actually thought that was all needed. And, you know, this could have been honestly a messy movie. Like, I know I was talking to some of my friends about this movie, telling them this could have been a very uneven movie, but I think how Anthony and Joe Russo were able to handle all of these jam-packed elements, I think they handled it in a way where, yes, even though I agree the film is jam-packed, it doesn't feel bloated to me, if you know what I mean.
Okay, and Paul, how about you, sir?
I liked it as it was. I did not feel that taking from it would not have improved on it. Adding to it would not have improved on it. It's certainly not a perfect movie, but it's fine as is to me. I mean, it's supposed to be an epic tale, and it's supposed to glue the you know phase three, I guess they're coming up with.
And yeah, this is phase three.
This is the first film in phase three.
So Ant-Man was the first in phase three.
You don't think they would have done a little better service with it, possibly doing it over episodically a little bit? You think?
I think that's the whole point of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is that it as its entirety is your little episode things, you know. You're probably going to do yourself a disservice by not watching all the individual films. I personally think that anybody who misses out on the Thor films are not getting the full effect of this film, which is odd, isn't it? Because he doesn't even technically appear in there. But the elements of those films do affect the universe and how characters react. So I think that it's fine as is. I think it's positioned correctly in the right spot, and it's going to branch out into the new characters that we're going to all talk about and get excited about again. You know, everyone's talking about Black Panther, and they're all excited about that. My favorite superhero is coming up, and I'm looking forward to seeing her. So those types of things, you know, and this film, you know, if you shortened it, it would not have made it any better for me. Putting more stuff in it would not have made it any better for me either.
I do know that I want to see, like, in the later movies, like, for instance, what this really made me want in Doctor Strange, which I'm probably looking forward to more than any other comic book movie this year, and in, like, the Black Panther, what it made me think of was, wow, I would really like these movies as much as I love seeing these characters, like, cross over into other movies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They've done it to such, I mean, they've amped it up to such a degree in this movie. Because this isn't really an Avengers movie. It is, I guess, all in but name. But it is it's a Captain America movie, but it's everybody's in there. I would like to see them kind of scale back and simplify it a bit to what we originally started out with. How, for instance, you know, maybe you'll only get, like, a cameo. Like, say, like, how Thor, which is still one of my favorite of the Marvel movies, if not my absolute favorite of the ones that have been so far. Well, I guess no, Avengers is better. But Thor, the first Thor, where it was pretty much Thor for the whole thing. And then you got the cameo where they introduced Hawkeye. You know? Okay, kept it real simple, but just enough to make you go, ooh, you know? Because I don't get, because there's so many of these movies now, I don't get that ooh factor.
But that's
when they bring somebody in, I'm like, oh, this guy now.
That's the thing, they're beyond that. They're beyond that point of let's introduce a new character to get everybody interested. Right now, everybody's more interested in where's the story going? You know, when's Infinity War going to start? When am I going to see Thanos again, you know?
Yeah, Thanos, they're really dragging out way too far, aren't
they? And I guess
I'm sorry, they are.
and I guess for me, I would have liked to see it just – I'm old school. I got to admit it. And it's even the problem I had with the other film, which I won't mention, but even though I enjoyed it, I saw the flaws there as well. I wish it would have drawn a little more focus on the main core of the story than also introducing other characters and bringing other characters in. As much as I enjoyed seeing Black Panther and Spider-Man, I saw here in the potential of two films, it was being both a Captain America sequel as well as an Avengers film. Just the way it's handled and written, while Captain America is, and almost a partial Iron Man film as well. You know, it's doing all these things, and I guess that's when I'm having more and more trouble with these films, doing these whole combined universe, and especially with the Marvel films now, is I'm looking at these films, though, I feel bad for someone who hasn't seen the other films and goes in going, oh, what's this film about?
Yeah.
And because what started out, and this is where I guess I'm just, I'm trying to ease into it and get my head wrapped around where it started out as making these films to introduce new people to these comic book characters. You're right, we are beyond that. Unfortunately, you have a whole new set of movie fans who haven't watched the others yet. And you're so far now, there's so many films now out that people have to play catch up in order to really get the meat and follow what's going on. These films are getting less and less feeling of standalone movies where to catch everything and appreciate it and actually get why this is such a big deal, you have to see the other films. And I guess for me, I have a bit of a problem with that. The fact that there's so many out there now in the Marvel universe that you have to kind of see in order to get everything. And it's not even that. It's also Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They're working...
I gave up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., though, just recently.
They're working the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. angle, at least they did up through, you know, Winter Soldier, and there's a whole website dedicated of what order you need to watch all of these in. And I'm just sitting here going, you know... And I guess for me, it's a direct sequel, so I'm going in and I guess I approach it, always try to take a film by itself, even the sequels, I try to take them by himself and look at the film by itself. And this film was a more solid film than Age of Ultron. This film would have been better as the second Avengers film, in all honesty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
It would have served better as the, you know, because it's like an Avengers film done in the style of Captain America.
Yes.
You know, and I'm not saying it as a bad thing because I loved Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier for me is probably my favorite Marvel Universe film, in all honesty. Next to the first Iron Man and Avengers, I loved Winter Soldier. And
it's really good. Yeah.
Winter Soldier was handled not like a superhero film, but it was handled like a film, like an espionage film with superhero characters in it. And I guess that's why I enjoyed it, because we've gotten so many superhero films. And in this one, when we got to the big superhero parts, that's when it kind of pulled me out to where I was like, this is awesome, all these guys fighting. For me, it didn't fit the way the rest of the film was feeling to me, and if that makes sense at all.
Mm-hmm.
In that the tone, it was like we're dealing and we're digging into this government, you know, we're dealing into this, you know, Bucky set up and this conflict and this meat and emotion, and Iron Man's having problems with this, and then all of a sudden, boom, oh, we got a superhero fight. Now we're getting back into the meat of it, you know. And
oh, I hope people didn't watch this film for the fights.
Well, but that's the thing, is a lot of people are focusing on the fights and on Black Panther and Spider-Man, which are great because they were great elements.
Mm-hmm.
But and that is why a lot of people got that was the marketing.
That was the marketing, and that's what I know I caught online. A lot of people talk about, oh, you know, Black Panther was great, Spider-Man was great. Oh, I loved the airport fight scene. And I'm like, this isn't called Black Panther Spider-Man at the airport.
Wow, I just had this great image of them waiting at TSA, like, always get searched. We always get searched. Should never come in costume. Our mistake.
So I want to get to Tony's question tonight yet, or topic he'd like to talk about quick. I know we're running a little late, but I figured we would, because this film is such a dense film. It is so packed with so many things to talk about. But I guess, you know, again, I want to reiterate, if you haven't seen my review, I enjoyed this film. Okay, if you ever see my friends and I sit around Star Wars, film I grew up with, a film that is near and dear to my heart, we will riff tracks the hell out of A New Hope and Empire and Jedi. We will do that. Doesn't mean I don't love the films. So I just want to get that out now. This doesn't mean I didn't enjoy the film. It's just I wanted to do this tonight because I knew there would be people who just loved it and people who saw issues with it, and that's why I wanted to get everybody together. So that said, I'll stop my rambling. Tony?
Okay, I actually wanted to talk about that. I know Scott mentioned earlier the fact that we didn't talk about Tom Holland as Spider-Man. Actually, okay. Wanted to talk about him.
Sure. What did you want to talk about? Just in general, or did you?
Just in general. Like, what'd you think about his introduction? Like, when we see him for the first time, or what'd you think about the airport scene? So basically, whatever the hell you want to talk about involving him.
Involving Spider-Man. That's a good topic, since this was one of the big hooks, and which I wish would have been a surprise, but that's a whole nother discussion. But Paul, Paul, we'll go with you first. The introduction, we get to finally meet Marvel at home Superman, Spider-Man, who got the unfortunate subtitle to his film. How did you feel about Spider-Man?
I loved it. I loved him, and that was one of the high points of the audience that in our film, in the film, because right at the very end when it says Spider-Man will return, there was actually an audible clapping going on. And throughout the rest of the film, you know, everyone was like, you know, they weren't cheering or anything, they weren't clapping, but at that point they actually clapped, and that made me feel really good. I think they did a really wonderful casting with Tom. I thought he had the Peter Parker that I thought of, you know, the wisecracking, never really shuts up type of thing, you know, and it's kind of neat also to because we have all these experienced superheroes, and you get somebody that isn't quite experienced at the whole thing, and it was just a neat experience between him and the Scott Lang character. It lightened the film enough for me to not say, oh yeah, this is all dark and bad, and this is Marvel going to the dark side. No, these two characters really lightened it up, especially Spider-Man.
I even without them in there, I don't see this Marvel as a dark film. But anyway,
that's weird.
It's Marvel, and I dark. Yeah, okay. They tease us a little with darkness, but not nearly as much. Glenn, how about you with Spider-Man in general? How do you feel about him?
I'm not sure how I feel about being sexually attracted to Aunt May.
You ain't the only one.
it's. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Marissa Tomei, and I'm not just saying that because she's gorgeous. I mean, I love her as an actress. I think she's good at what she does, but it threw me for a loop where I'm like, that's not how Aunt May, what? So other than that, I think they handle them well. I like the kind of teenage, both, he has this mix of not being sure of himself, but also, you know, being kind of cocky at the same time. And I kind of like that. I think it plays off well. And I'm kind of looking forward now to seeing what they do with him.
Sure. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they handle him in his standalone film with the taste that we got of him here in the Civil War. So, Scott, how about you with Spider-Man?
Oh, man. Well, first of all, yeah, you know, Aunt May is a total MILF here. Oh, my God. She's amazingly looking and stuff because Marissa Tomei is just ravishing. She's gorgeous. But also want to definitely say, as Glenn said, I've loved Marissa Tomei for years. I thought the jokes that were made at her expense after she won the Oscar were – I've always felt they were disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And really under – and really kind of dismissive of what really was a great comic performance. And I think that she's proven herself over the 20-plus years since by keeping in the game and proving herself time and time again as a great comedic and dramatic actress since then. So glad to see her in there. I actually love to see her. And I'm totally cool with her seeing her as Aunt May because I remember in Ultimate Spider-Man, the comic strip, the comic book Ultimate Spider-Man, they update Aunt May so that, like, oh, okay, she's a little, she's not quite the elderly, like, doddering spinster, you know? And so I'm like, okay, well, this is just a natural progression on from that. I'm okay with that. And now going on to what you actually asked me, Spider-Man, you know, going way back to 2002 with the first Spider-Man movie, that was the first comic book movie in forever that really felt like, oh, my God, they did it. They nailed it. They got the essence of Spider-Man in those first two Sam Raimi films. Third one, not so much. First two, absolutely. And then, you know, you got the third one, and then you got the Dark reboot, which wasn't great. This one, it really felt like it finally balanced all the things that it tried to touch on in the five movies we've had over the last 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got the insecurity of the character, the idea that he was a novice, the idea that he was trying to balance these two things about himself, but he could not stay away. You got the wisecracking bit, the fact that he doesn't shut up, as what have you said? That's great, you know, that's perfect. And it really felt like, of course, you kind of sense that they would do this since Marvel, this is Marvel's person. You know, they know this is their guy. And I actually like the title Homecoming, incidentally.
Mm-hmm.
It was the one part where, honestly, as I've said before, I'm not sure if he belonged here because the film felt so jam-packed. I will say that they were some of the lightest and most satisfying moments of the film. Probably most satisfying moment, though, being Ant-Man, which was a surprise since I hated Ant-Man. but I loved I loved it when he turned into Giant Man. That was the best part of the movie. But anyway, but no, Spider-Man, it felt like they actually balanced all the things perfectly. And so what it made me do is say, yeah, it made me say, oh, man, when he gets his standalone movie, if he's allowed to keep it kind of a standalone movie and not bring in, you know, Moon Knight. You know?
Yes.
They are bringing
Moon Knight, Spider-Woman, you know, Spider-Gwen, everybody, you know, right off the bat, you know. If he's allowed to keep it like kind of as somewhat of a standalone movie, ooh, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Just to give you a heads up, Iron Man is going to be in the next Spider-Man.
God damn it!
just
look, like, not, don't, you're Wolverine-ing this guy, okay? He's going to be in every single superhero movie.
I'm down for that.
we love Robert Downey Jr. Since he stopped being a drug addict, he's been wonderful. But he can't do everything.
And, oh, I just had a comment, but I'll leave it alone because that's my back in the 80s comment.
incidentally, did anybody like catch that great line in there where Ant-Man, when Robert Downey Jr. comes in, he goes, "Here comes the futurist, here comes the..." I loved that.
Oh, yeah.
Because not only was that a line that Tony Stark is a futurist in the comics, the futurist was the name of the album that Robert Downey Jr. cut like about 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great. That was a great dig. And I know what your answer is going to be to your question, Tony, but go ahead. Your feeling with Spider-Man, did you? Was it everything you hoped for?
Yeah, from the one shot we would see in the trailer, I would say definitely. I thought Tom Holland did a great job. I don't follow the comics. I know you guys are more familiar with the comics. I just like to go into these movies like very fresh, not really knowing much of the material. But I thought Tom Holland, he really made it his own Spider-Man. I read an article how he took like the what made Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield good, and he blended those elements into what he wanted to portray. And honestly, I really loved his portrayal. I thought he was very funny. He was very charismatic. He was obviously a very shy character. I loved his introduction when He sees Tony Stark and has that "what do you want" attitude. So basically, he was a normal teenager, and honestly, yeah, I thought he was very great, especially in the airport scene. Not only was Ant-Man hilarious when he was Giant Man, but Spider-Man, I was just dying laughing at those one-liners he made during the airport scene. So yeah, Tom Holland, you have two thumbs up for me.
Yeah, I enjoyed Spider-Man quite a bit, though I thought his introduction was a little bit awkward in the apartment with Iron Man and that, the way that was handled. But outside of that, I loved his portrayal, though he did get a lame end credit sequence. I'm sorry, folks. Ooh, his watch glows the Spider-Man face.
Yeah, that was lame.
I would have been fine with it just saying Spider-Man will return. We didn't need to see the video of you know, the Spider-Man signal. you know,
I think both the end credit sequences were kind of lame.
better than seeing Howard the Duck as a
don't even go there, man.
I'm already looking like the asshole on this episode tonight. Don't you bring Howard the Duck here and pick on Howard? Yes. Okay, I'm okay.
No, I'm just gonna tell you right now, man. It's not wise to underestimate a master of quack fu.
That's right. I enjoyed.
And someone that loves to fuck Leah Thompson.
There you go. See, I mean, whoa. You got to give respect there. But in all seriousness, I loved Spider-Man. I loved Black Panther. They were some of the highlights. That fight scene in the airport with Spider-Man and everybody playing their parts. That was what you would hope that battle would be. Though, again, I did feel like a couple of them maybe got their butts handed to them. And you know, on the whole, that airport scene was fantastic. You know, and it just felt like a little bit – the film was a different film when those two started fighting. And then we got back to our regularly scheduled story. But I loved Spider-Man, loved Black Panther, loved all those elements. I thought Paul Rudd was great. It was great seeing Ant-Man because I enjoyed Ant-Man quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Again, I enjoyed Ant-Man because it didn't feel like a full superhero story. It felt like kind of more of a cheesy throwback to this, you know, the late 50s type of story. Just like I really loved Captain America Winter Soldier because it felt more like an espionage film than a superhero film. You know, and so with this one, yes, it makes me look hopeful for both the Black Panther movie and, to answer your question, Tony, the Spider-Man films. Definitely looking forward to it, though. I don't quite care for the subtitle out of all the choices they picked. It does make sense, and it is very fitting since he's coming back home to Marvel. But for me, I just would have liked to see something different, you know, Ultimate or you know, one of the other adjectives that we normally see in front of Spider-Man. But yeah, Tom Holland, definitely have confidence in his portrayal and look forward to seeing what they do with that character and in that film of Homecoming, which already sounds like it's beefing up to be a pretty entertaining film, just from the little hints that we're already getting about it. So great questions by everyone tonight. I said my pieces in between. I didn't really have any more to talk about. I think we covered the film quite a bit. And as everyone can see, you can enjoy a film even if you do find some flaws in it. And I think people are missing that point. And I'll just get a little soapboxy here and just saying that, just like with the other superhero film, everybody's going to see something different, and expectations are going to be a little bit different for everyone. And I think we can all kindly agree to disagree on things sometime, but at least respect other people's opinions when it comes to these films, because we're all fans in some way, shape, or form. We're very passionate about these things, and we shouldn't crap on someone just because they saw something different than we did. You know, you can sit 100 people in a movie theater down, and everyone's going to see something a little different, or something's going to, you know, click with them a little bit different. I think this film was a little more dense than it could have been. They could have whittled it down a little bit. You know, but on the whole, I was still entertained. I got my money's worth. You know, it, the fight, the what we got out of it was a really well put together film. And it, as Tony said earlier, it could have been a mess, but it wasn't. They did juggle a lot of elements in here. And while I do not care for this trend of setup films and that you really need to see the other films to follow what's going on, I understand why, and I understand that's the new world order of these films, and it's just going to take me a while to mow my lawn and get used to that. I think we're going to wrap it up for tonight. I appreciate everyone here in the spoiler room joining us quick. We'll go down like we always do real quick and just let people know where they can find you at when you're not here. Go ahead, Glenn.
You can find me on Facebook, Guy in the Bunker Productions. You can find me on YouTube, Guy in the Bunker Productions, or follow me on Twitter at Guy in the Bunker.
And Paul?
Two things. You can get a hold of me at on Facebook, Twitter, and WordPress at Forsaken Film Reviews. And you can learn a lot about this upcoming horror film festival at www.newhorrorfest.com.
Nice. Yes, definitely check that out. Great to see Horror Fest coming back to Oshkosh. And Scott, go ahead for you, sir.
You can catch me at moviocrity.com. I promise there will be some new content there shortly. I had some technical difficulties, which kind of took me out of the run of things for a few weeks. So, but moviocrity.com, you can catch me. Also, check out my web series, Moviocrity, at vimeo.com/channels/moviocrity. All about exploitation films and fun shit like that.
Awesome. And Tony, Tiger Power, please tell these fine folks where they can find you at.
You can find me at youtube.com/22tigerdude. You can find me on Instagram at 22tigerdude, Twitter at tigerdude22. What else did I have? Twitter, Facebook. Oh, yeah, and facebook.com/22tigerdude. So, yeah, you guys, thanks for having me on, Mark, and this was a lot of fun.
Well, I'm glad you had a lot of fun, Tony, and I'm glad you really enjoyed this film. I'm glad many people out there really enjoyed this film. I enjoyed this film, though I saw its flaws, and I'm still trying to figure out why people don't understand it. I mean, Tony, you were surprised when I gave it a high rating, and yeah, I had flaws in it, but I still gave it a high rating. I enjoyed it as much as that other film, which everybody seem to crap on. I am old man.
And they compare it a lot, which I don't think is really fair.
They compare it a lot, which I don't think is quite fair as well. I agree. And that could be a whole other discussion in itself.
Well,
but we are,
yeah, because the tone was completely different, but some of the plot points were very similar, though.
The plot points were similar. The approaches were different.
Yeah.
The thing is, Marvel's had 8 years to build up to this, and DC's trying to catch up, which they don't need to. Do you hear me out there, DC? Slow down, all right? You don't have to. As much as the fans may ask you to, you don't have to rush these things. Your TV series are doing well.
I love the TV shows.
I would rather you take your time and do a solid film that will leave people less things to complain about with them. Then try to rush and be just like Marvel. You're not like Marvel. You don't need to be like Marvel. Mm-hmm. We can have a variety of different types of superhero films out that we can all enjoy, because in the end, we have to accept and enjoy the fact we're getting so many comic book movies when, yes, on my lawn, back in my day, we had Superman. And Flash Gordon, which will be an episode in the future. I will not talk about Flash Gordon because it sounds like I hope you enjoyed this conversation here. If you want to hear more episodes of us talking where I am completely wrong on movies, you can check it out at specialmarkproductions.com. Where we find one-stop shop for all the stuff that I do there, archive of the Spoiler Room. You can find the Spoiler Room also on iTunes, as well as the Google Podcast, Google Radio. We are on there, as well as Stitcher Smart Radio. Thank you, everyone. Hope you enjoyed this long conversation about this film. We will not be doing one on the X-Men films, because that one, that's just too easy. I appreciate every single one of you listening. Please subscribe to the RSS feed if you haven't already. Head over to YouTube /SpecialMark where you can find all the raw recordings of these episodes as well as me babbling about movies and such. We appreciate all our listeners. We're growing every day. Thank you so much. And until next time, remember, the conversation is fresh, but we do spoil the movies. Say goodnight, gentlemen.
Good night, gentlemen.
Good night, you guys. And I'm
bringing Supergirl.
Melissa Tarmac.
Love America.